If you got your Bibles tonight, and we're going to get into the book of 1 Corinthians, and I hope that you've enjoyed our study in 1 Corinthians. I know if no one else is enjoying it, I have been getting to hear not only myself, but many of our other staff men, Brother Vestal, I believe Brother Cameron, Pastor, talking about the book of 1 Corinthians. And of course, many have called the book of Corinthians Paul's problem Paris, that church in Corinth had a lot of issues, a lot of struggles. And our series, we've called it a healthy church, not because Corinth was healthy, but because Paul gives the recipe on how and what a church can do to be healthy. And so we've been looking at how to be a healthy church, and I believe in my whole heart we have a great church, great thing going on here at Grammy Baptist Church, but we want it to stay that way. We want it to continue to be a blessing to our community and a blessing to our world. And so we've been looking at how our church is to be healthy. Last week we were in chapter 7, and basically chapter 7 is 40 verses long, and last week I preached the first 20 verses, and so this week we're going to kind of continue and finish that up, and so we'll finish the last half. And really you're going to find some of it is similar. Paul is continuing in the same topic that he was talking about last week. Last week we talked about a healthy church has to have healthy marriages. By the way, if you were not able to watch the service last week, I highly recommend you watch the service last week, last Sunday night service. Not because I preached it, I'm not saying watch it because I preached it, but I'll tell you this, I went verse by verse, and Paul talks about marriage, and just powerful, powerful stuff, powerful verses, powerful truths about marriage. And in our world today, marriage is really just been trashed, really. Our society has made marriage things that it's not supposed to be. Marriages are ending in divorce at just rates that are just shocking, to be honest. And Paul tells us that if we're going to have a healthy church, there has to be healthy marriages and healthy couples in that church. And so we looked at that last week. A couple things that Paul, and I want to kind of just refresh your mind, Paul mentioned in those first 20 verses, Paul, he talked about the importance of marriage. And last week we looked at the importance that God Himself lays on marriage. And so we looked at that, and Paul also dealt with the importance of marriages staying together. Apparently in the Church of Corinth, as you read the first 20 verses, it was like the Church of Corinth was their divorce. They were putting away their spouses, and they were running off with other people. And Paul said, "What are you doing?" He said, "That's not what marriage is supposed to be." And so last week we talked about being committed. And I specifically talked to single people who are not yet married to commit to when they decide to get married, that be a commitment for life and forever. And for those that are married, to make sure it stays that way. And so Paul talked about staying together. And then Paul also, he dealt with an interesting subject on being married to someone who's unsaved. Of course, these Corinthian Christians, many of them were brand new Christians. And no doubt some of them were saved, but maybe their spouse wasn't. And so Paul talked about, okay, what do you do if your spouse isn't saved? And basically Paul said, you need to stay with them. And it could be that God uses you to reach your unsaved spouse. And Paul says, use that and try to reach them with the gospel. And so he dealt with that, and that was kind of an interesting topic. He continues on in verses 20 through 40 on that same general topic of marriage. We're going to get into it in just a second. But before he talks back into marriage, he takes a little detour here. In verse number 20 through 24, he talks about a little different topic. We'll start there tonight. You got your Bible? Let's look at verse number 20. And if you would, just kind of read along with me. I'll read it. Guys got it on the screen. And we're just going to kind of go through these 20 verses and open God's Word up here. Verse number 20, the Bible says this, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." Verse 21, "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." Now, when I was reading this initially, I was struggling understanding, okay, the calling here, what's it talking about? It talks about being a servant. What is the context of this? And many Bible scholars believe that Paul was talking to slaves, people who were in servitude and who were getting saved. And, of course, at that time in history, And in that culture, it was not uncommon for people to have servants or slaves, that type of thing. And it was possible that in this church of Corinth, there was these servants or slaves who had been saved, who had been converted to Christianity, yet who were still slaves. And that, by the way, is not an uncommon thing in the New Testament. For instance, if you know the book of Philemon, Philemon is a tiny New Testament book, only one, just a couple chapters in there. And if you know that story, Paul is writing a letter to Philemon about his slave. His slave's name was Onesimus. And Paul had met Onesimus. Onesimus had ran away from his owner, Philemon. And Paul met Onesimus, and Onesimus got saved. And God started working in Onesimus' life. And that whole book of Philemon, Paul is writing a letter back to Philemon, the owner of this newly converted slave, Onesimus, and how God had been working in his life. And so that was something that is found in Scripture. And so Paul here, it seems like he's writing to these people who have been saved and yet are our servants or slaves. Now watch what he says. He says, "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather." Verse 22, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." And so here Paul deals with this subject of these servants or slaves getting saved and what to do. And of course he mentions in verse 21, he says, "Art thou being called a servant? Care not for it." In other words, you probably don't like it. And he goes into verse 22 and he reminds them that the greatest gift and the best thing that ever happens is when you are freed from the power of sin. And he reminds them that, you know what, you might be in this position that you don't like and in this spot that you don't really care for, but understand, true freedom is when we are freed from eternal death and hell and freed from the sin in our lives, and that comes when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. If I were to give you two job offers, are you ready? I want to give you two job offers. Which one would you choose? Okay, here's your options. One of these jobs, one of these things you can do with your life, you'll work longer hours. Okay, now right off the bat you're like, whoa, longer hours, I don't know. Okay, this job, you'll work longer hours, you're going to work with people, and a boss who hates you. Now, I don't know, if you're watching by way of live stream, maybe right now you're like, "Ah, Brother Tito, I got a job like that. Okay, my boss does not like me." I don't know, but so here you go. Here's this job already. Okay, you got to work longer hours. You got to work for a boss who doesn't like you, and your coworkers don't like you. At this job, your family will be constantly hurt by you working at this job. In other words, you work at this job, and it's going to affect your family in a negative way and a negative aspect. Now, right now, if you're watching, you're going, "Brother Tito, this does not sound like a great job. I'm not done yet." Okay? So you work longer hours, work with people and a boss who don't like you. Your family is constantly hurt by you working this job. The pay you are told will be very good. Okay? Now, you're like, "Brother Tito, that sounded good." But later you find out, after you start working that job, that you're getting paid nothing. That's a bummer. Okay? And this job will literally destroy you. Now, if I was to tell you, okay, that job, you can have that job. Let's give you the other job, okay? I said, I got two jobs for you to pick from, okay? So that's the first one. The second job, your boss is going to love you. Now, right off the bat, you're like, "That sounds good. I'm sold already." Okay, the boss loves you. Your coworkers will love and care about you. The job will be hard sometimes, but when it's hard, the boss will always be ready to help you get through it. You and your family will benefit from this job, and the pay will be so great, you can't even comprehend the math on how good this job is going to be financially and the blessings that's going to come from it. And you will have freedom and choices that, if you choose right, will make your job even better. Now, if I was to lay both of those out for you, job one, the boss hates you, coworkers hate you, it's going to be terrible, hours are going to be long, you're going to work so hard, you're going to get paid absolutely nothing, it's going to destroy you, it's going to destroy your family, versus the job where your boss loves you, your coworkers love you, it might be tough, but the boss will always be there to help you, the blessings and all that is going to be just far beyond what you could ever comprehend, it'd be a no-brainer you'd pick job number two. You'd pick the job that was easier and the job that the boss loves you and the co-workers love you, all those things. And can I say this? That is the same choice that me and you have at the moment of salvation. See, you can choose living a life of sin, and you can choose living a life for Satan, and you can choose living a life for this world, but in the end, it's going to hurt you, it's going to hurt your family, Satan doesn't like you, sin wants to destroy you, and all of those negative things, you can choose that, or you can choose to be on God's team and God's side. And on God's side, God loves you, cares about you, Christians love and care about you, and any time in life gets tough, God is there ready to help you. The blessings that God wants to give to you and me are far beyond what you can ever comprehend. It sounds like an easy decision, does it not? But all of us have to make that decision. And that is true freedom. True freedom is when we decide that I'm going to give my life to Christ. Now, our world doesn't get that. See, the world doesn't understand that. The world looks at Christianity as legalistic. The world looks at Christianity like we have no freedom and we're controlled. But can I say this? I live my life and I don't feel any control or any of that. I feel free to make decisions. And by the way, God helps me make those decisions. God wants to lead and guide me. And man, it's amazing when I make decisions that honor and glorify God. Every time I do, it doesn't hurt me. It helps me. Can I say this? Paul wanted these people to realize that no matter where you find yourself in life, realize that if you choose God and if you choose to do right and if you choose to follow Him, it's always going to mean freedom. It's always going to mean freedom. Can I say this, Christian? I don't know where you find yourself today. Okay, I don't know what job position or where you're at in your life or marriage or any of that type of thing. But can you understand this, that God wants you to be free. But freedom doesn't come from doing what you want. We think that way. We think, well, freedom is me doing what I want. And that is technically freedom. But when you do that, you make wrong decisions. And when you do that, you hurt your family. And when you do that, you hurt yourself. Because so often when we choose what we want to do, we're not choosing what God wants to do, but rather what Satan wants us to do, or what sin tempts us to do, or what this world would have us do. And can I say this? That doesn't help us. That hurts us. Paul wanted them to realize, hey, it doesn't matter where you're at. If you can grasp the fact that you are free in Christ, that's one of the greatest gifts and the greatest blessings that you will ever have. He goes on, he says this, look at verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Now, it's interesting, he uses the word freeman, and there's a difference in the Bible between a freeman and a free man. Okay, a free man versus a freeman, one word, versus the two words. There's kind of a difference there, and basically the difference is one of them would have been born as a slave and then later freed versus one who was born totally free. And here in this verse, Paul, it's amazing truth. Paul wants us to understand. He says, it doesn't matter which one you are. When you trust Christ, you are free. And you're set free from that sin and those wrong things. Verse 23, he says this, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, you might be sitting there and you're listening on by way of live stream. And you're going, Brother TJ, it's hard for me not to serve others when I work a job. Okay, that's what my job is, whatever your job might be. I'm serving other people. It says serve, not men. I don't get that. Well, the principle is this. Number one, I don't let men control me. God should control me. But the greater principle is this. Whatever I find myself doing, I shouldn't do it for them. I should do it for God. In other words, if I'm working at a warehouse, okay, maybe I'm working at a warehouse, instead of thinking, well, I don't like this boss, I'm not going to work hard. Well, that's not what a Christian should think. Biblical principle is, I might be working here, but as I'm working here, I'm going to work like I'm working for God. And I'm going to work as hard as I can, as best as I can, so that I can honor and glorify God. Man, if we had that mentality, that everywhere we went, we did our very best in whatever it was, listen, I think we would change our world. I think if every Christian went to work and they worked extremely hard, and people are like, why are you working so hard? Man, I just feel like when I'm here, I'm working for God. I'm trying to do my best. I think our world would change. People would see that you are serving God and that you are trying your best. I personally believe that every job, Christian workers ought to be the best employees at that job. Okay? I think if you're a Christian employee, you should be like the boss's favorite. Because you work hard, you show up, you do what you're supposed to do. And not because you want to. Man, I don't know about you, there are some days I don't want to show up to work, right? But you do it because you love God and you believe that whatever you're doing, God wants you to give your best. And by the way, that's a Bible principle. And you're doing it for His honor and His glory. And so Paul wanted to remind them, hey, you might find yourself in circumstances that you're not really for. In this case, a servant. He said, but if you're saved, you're free. And if you're free, make sure that whatever you're doing, do it not like you're doing it to men. Do it like you're doing it for the Lord. And that'll help you. Now, verse 24, he says, brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Wherever you find yourself in life, Paul wants you to know here in this passage, Apostle Paul wants you to know that wherever you find yourself in life, abide in God. Abide in God. If life is tough right now, can I say this? Abide in God. If life is going great right now, can I say this? Abide in God. The word abide, to dwell, to live in. Understand this, wherever you find yourself in life, God wants you to understand that He is there, He is with you, and He wants to help you. And just have that relationship with Him. If your job at work is bad, understand this. God wants you to abide in Him while you're there. You say, Brother C.D., it's been tough. I know. Okay, it might be tough, but abide in God. God will get you through. And Paul wanted us to realize here in this verse that wherever you find yourself in these circumstances for these people he was writing to, we're not necessarily good. But he says, understand you are free through your salvation and that you can abide and dwell and live with God even while you're in a circumstance that you don't necessarily like or necessarily care about. Verse 25. Now he goes back. Now that first part there, verses 20 through 24, I said he kind of talks about a little different topic. Now he's going to go back and he's going to talk more about marriage. And like I said, some of this is going to sound familiar, so I'll probably go quickly through these next verses. But he talked about marriage the first 20 verses. He takes kind of a little side break for about 5 verses. And now the rest of this chapter, he's going to go back into marriage once again. So verse number 25 says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. We talked a little bit about this last week. There was a moment in the last 20 verses where Paul basically said, what I'm about to say is not necessarily God's commandment. He said, this is my opinion. Now, obviously, God felt it important to put what Paul is saying in Scripture. But right here, if you catch, he says, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. In other words, what he's about to say is not necessarily a command of God, but it's something that he's seen, and he's seen a problem with this. Okay? He says, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. In other words, he kind of gives his reasons. He says, God has not told me that it's not a command from God, but God has given me an opportunity to speak, and so I'm going to speak. Verse 26, he says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Verse 27, he says, art thou bound unto a wife? In other words, he says, are you married? Okay, and if the answer is yes, look what he says. He says, seek not to be loosed. We talked about that last week. He says, if you're married, don't look to split apart. Don't look to send her away or send him away or get rid of him. Okay, he says, seek not to be loosed. He says, art thou loosed from a wife? He says, are you not married? Okay, he says, seek not a wife. Verse 28, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Now watch what happens here. Paul is talking about marriage. Okay? He's talking about those of you are married, stay together. Okay? That type of thing. And now he says the time is short. I believe right here Paul is talking about the end times. You might be married now, but you don't have forever. Okay, look what he says. He goes into this long list of things. He says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short, it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not." In other words, hey, there's going to come a day where those that weep, who are sad, won't be sad anymore, or will be sad, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy, hey, someday it's going to come where you all have all this stuff, but whatever you possess, it's not going to matter anymore. Verse number 31, "And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." I think that verse is interesting. "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." In other words, there's going to be you that take care of the earth, but it's not going to matter. Okay? In our world today, and by the way, I'm all for taking care of the earth that God gave us. I think there is a line, and people are extreme. But God wants us to understand it. It's going to be burned up and pass away someday. The earth is not forever. Okay? So as much as you try to take care of it, and by the way, I think we should, eventually, it's going to be gone. Now watch what he says. So Paul says all these things, you know, the time is short. Watch what he says. "But I would have you without carefulness." Okay? And he's going to go back in to marriage here. So he says, you know, time is short. All these things are going to come. The world's going to pass away. All these things. And now he flips this back to marriage. So what is he trying to say? "And but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." This is interesting. And we talked about it a little last week. We touched on it. Paul says this, "He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." Paul says, and apparently something he was seeing at the church of Corinth, he's saying, listen, in your marriages, he says, I want you to understand, this world is going to pass away. Okay? Someday the Lord will return. Okay? End times, all those type of things. He said, all that's going to pass away. He says, one thing I'm seeing is the young people are serving God, living for God, want to please God. Can I say this? As you're reading this, if you're a single person watching by way of live stream, is that you? If I was to ask you, are you serving God? If I was to ask you, are you pleasing God? What would your answer be to that? Maybe as you're watching tonight, you're thinking, Brother TJ, ooh, I don't know. I mean, I do go to church, but serving, I don't know if I do much of that. Brother TJ, pleasing God? Man, I think of a lot of things I'm doing that aren't pleasing to God. Can I say this? As Paul's writing this, he says that this church in the church of Corinth, they must have had some young people who were pleasing God. Can I say this? I hope that here at Grammy Baptist Church, we have some young people, some single, unmarried young people who are pleasing to God and who God looks at them and goes, man, they are trying to live for me. Man, they are trying to serve me. Man, they are trying to do the right thing. And God looks at the young, single people of Grandview Baptist Church, and He sees people who are trying to serve Him. So He says that. And apparently in the church at Corinth, they must have had some solid young people. That's the only thing I could think of as I read this, that there must have been some young people in this church that Paul knew. And said, they are serving God. They're trying to please God. And you're like, Brother Tina, that sounds like a great thing. And it is, but watch what he says next. He says, "But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife." There was a problem with the church in Corinth. Paul looked at the church at Corinth and he saw young singles, unmarried people, who were sold out, committed. They were bought into serving God. They were giving God everything. But then he looked at the married couples in his church, and the married couples were not only serving God, but they were serving the world. That's what he says here. Look what he says. He says, "But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world." By the way, the Bible talks about that. Love not the world, neither anything that is in the world. For any man that loved the world, love of the Father is not in him. Paul in this church, he was seeing married people who were not caring what God thought. They only cared what the world thought. Can I say this, Christian? If you're a married person, be very careful about who you're pleasing. Are you trying to please the neighbors across the road who are not saved? Are you trying to please your coworkers at your job who are not saved? Are you trying to fit in with a crowd that doesn't fit in with God's Word? And if you're doing that, can I say this? There's an issue. Paul said, why is it that I look at this church and I see young single people who are serving God and pleasing God and caring for God, but I see married people who are trying to please the world? And then he says this, I don't know if you caught it. He said how he may please his wife. That to me is pretty interesting. I look at our culture and I don't know if that's all our marriages are. I hope that our marriages, our wife is very important to us, and wives or husbands are extremely important to us. But this church was having a problem. They were putting the world ahead of God, and they were putting their family ahead of God. And can I say this? That is a recipe for disaster, Christian. When you put the world and the philosophies of this world and the cultures of this world and all of these things ahead of God, that's not good. But then you're going to say, my family, in this case a wife or a husband, they're more important to me than what God has to say? Can I say this? It's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for disaster. And Paul looked at his church and he says, why is it that this? He says, I see the single people, they're serving God, and yet the married people, they are not even close to serving God. So Paul has an issue with that. Look at verse 34. He says, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. He goes once again. He says, there's an unmarried young lady, and she seems to care more about the Lord and for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. In other words, there is a problem. He once again says, I see these single young people who are sold out for God, but I see married couples who aren't. Verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Here's Paul's thoughts. Now, once again, I don't agree with this necessarily, but Paul's giving his input. So here's what he says. He said, this is not a commandment of God. He says, but I think, he said, I would rather people be single. He says, because I look at people who are single, and they're serving God, and I look at people who are married here at the Church of Corinth, and you're not serving God. In fact, you're serving the world, and you're against Him. He said, I'd rather you be single and serve God than get married and not. Here's the conclusion of this matter. Can I ask you, members of Grandview Baptist Church, if you're married, if you're single, it doesn't matter where you find yourself, would you simply serve God with your life? Husband and wife, would you serve and live for God together? Single young people, would you serve and live for God while you're single? And someday when you get married, before you get married, make sure that person you're marrying is committed that when you get married, hey, we're going to continue serving and living for God. Too many people in our world, too many Christians in our world today, they get to that age, they get older, and all of a sudden they go away from God. And then sometimes they get married and they go even further away from God. Why is it that Christians cannot find another Christian person and get married? Instead of going farther from God in their marriage, they get closer to God. Why is that not the case? That's what the case is. That's what it's supposed to be. And yet Paul was looking at a church at Corinth, and there was a serious issue going on in their marriages. And the single people were trying to live for God, but the married couples were not. And Paul says, man, if that's the case, he said, I'd rather you just be single serving God. Now, I'm not going to stand here before you and say that you should be single, okay? I think we've more than presented the case that God loves marriage, God is for marriage, God wants marriage. It is not good for man to be alone. But can I say this? If you're going to get married, or if you find yourself and you're already married, okay, serve God and live for Him. That has to be the priority. Tonight, very quickly, I want to give you three thoughts as we come to an end of this, okay? These married couples were struggling with their focus on God. Okay, how are you going to make your marriage work then? Here's three thoughts. Number one, God has to be the priority. God has to be the priority. As you read this, these couples that were married that Paul's writing to, they lost their focus. They lost their priority. See, they at one time as single people had focused on God. But then as they got older and got married and started having families, their focus had drifted. Hey, can I ask you, married couple, has your focus drifted away from God? See, Brother T.D., how do I know? Well, do you read your Bible? Well, Brother T.D., you preach that to the teenager. No, I'm not talking to the teenager. I'm talking to you adults. How's your church attendance? Well, I go sometimes. Whoa, doesn't God want us to be committed to assembling ourselves together? If you're not careful, as a married couple, you can start slipping and sliding away from God. So God has to be the priority in your marriage. Number two, how else do I make it work, Brother T.D.? Both husband and wife have to feel that way about God. If the husband is committed for God and the wife is not, there's going to be problems. If the wife is committed to God and the husband's not, there's going to be problems. It's going to be like a bicycle chain that's messed up. You ever ridden a bicycle and maybe a stick got in the chain or something, and man, you're trying to pedal and it's just like, it was pedaling, it was working, but not really good. I like going out hunting, and when I'm out hunting, I have this big hunting cart. It's got two big giant tires on it, and man, I load my hunting gear on that cart, and I'll pull that cart behind me. And I remember one time I was pulling that cart, and man, I was just sitting there going, this cart is heavy today. I feel like I must have put some extra weight on that cart, and man, I pulled it a long ways. And I took a break, and I remember I looked back, and I saw a strap from one of my pieces of equipment. The strap was in the tire. And so as I was pulling that cart, that thing was just rubbing on that tire. It was making it, and I took it out, and man, you could not, it was so much easier. You know what? If you've got a husband living for God, but the wife's not, or vice versa, it's a struggle. It's not going to be smooth. It takes you, husband, and you, wife, together, both of you with the same common goal. God is the priority. We're going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. My family's going to serve God. And doing it together. So God has to be the priority. And both husband and wife have to feel that way about God. And if God is at the center of that marriage, that couple will be unbreakable. I believe that. I believe that if a couple is sold out 100% for God, the husband is, the wife is, I believe my whole heart, that marriage is not going to fail. If that husband is sold out for God, and that wife is sold out for God, and they stay that way throughout their entire life, I believe 100% that marriage will never, ever fail. Because that husband's whole priority in life is, I'm going to live for God. And that wife's whole priority is, I'm going to live for God. And because they live for God, they understand what the Bible says about marriage. And they look at each other, and that marriage, it's unbreakable. I believe that. But so often the problem is that either one or even both get their focus and get their priorities off God. And if that happens, there's going to be problems. There's going to be issues in that marriage. Paul goes on. He says this. Verse number 37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power of his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart, doth he well keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Verse 39 goes on to talk about when a spouse passes away. And that's a sad thing. Paul says the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. And so, of course, that's a sad thing, of course. I can't even imagine that. Many of our church people have endured that, the passing of a spouse. And honestly, it'll happen to everyone, unless you go at the same time somehow. But it's going to happen to everyone. It's a sad thing. The Apostle Paul says if that happens, then that person then can remarry because of the passing of that loved one. Verse 40, but she is happier if she still abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. We're going to finish up right there, but I just want to challenge you, Christian. Okay? And as you've seen in this whole chapter, last week, this week, I probably sound like a broken record this week, because much of the stuff Paul talked about this week, he hit on last week as well. But it doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter if you're single, married. It doesn't matter if you like your job, don't like it. We talked about that at the beginning of the service. It doesn't matter where you find yourself in life. Paul wants us to understand through God's Word that it doesn't matter where you find yourself. You should be living for God. Hey, Christian, I don't know about you, I want a healthy church. If we're going to have a healthy church, it's a very simple remedy. God has to be at the center of our church. God has to be the focus. God has to be the priority. And if God's our focus, then hey, our marriages are going to be great. If God's the focus, I think we'll do better at our jobs. If God's the focus, our families, hey, they're going to do better. So the key here is, in this whole passage, I hope you caught it, that God has to be at the center of our church, the center of our marriages, the center of our families, the center of our focus. All of these things, I could go on and on and on. God has to be the focal point and at the center of it. Are you living for Him? Are you serving Him? Christian, I'm challenged. I see this and I see this. He's talking about single people who are serving God. Listen, I'm married, but I hope that married brother TJ is serving God more and better than I was years ago, even before I met my wife. By the way, I think that's true in my life, and I hope that's true for all of you. Wherever you find yourself in life, would you simply serve God and live for Him? At this time, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then after we pray, we will conclude our service. If you would, let's bow for a word of prayer together. Let's pray, and as I pray out loud, I always tell our teenagers this, as I'm praying out loud, wherever you're at, maybe you're at your dinner table, sitting on your couch, as I pray out loud, would you take that 15, 20 seconds, and while I pray out loud, would you pray in your own heart? And whatever God spoke to you about tonight, would you pray and talk to Him about that? Let's all pray together as I lead us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. God, thank You for our marriages and our families, Lord. If there's ever been a time during this virus, Lord, for many families, some it's been very difficult. For others, Lord, it's been beneficial even to get to spend more time together. God, we need You to be the center of our church, the center of our marriages, and the center of our families and our homes. God, without You, we are nothing. Lord, without You, we are weak. But God, with You, we can be strong. Our marriages can be strong. Our families can be strong. Our church can be strong. God, would You be at the center of everything we do? We want to honor and glorify You. And God, we want to love You. We want to serve You. We want to live for You. Lord, please bless all the church members who are watching tonight. And be with us throughout our week. In Your precious and wonderful name, amen. I appreciate you joining us for our live stream, and we will see you on Wednesday.